Bielitsa. Mills got a hand on it, and it comes back to Bertans.
Oh, what a save from Patty.
DeRozan, Cunningham, Mills. G'day, mate! Patty Mills with the triple.
Yeah, NBA Straya, how you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is, can you believe it, Wednesday, February 6th. It's episode 226 of NBA Straya. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Rap, Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios, letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we wrap up after every day of NBA action, just while repping Straya a little bit, mate. It's just what we do. Yep, and we're a lot less drunk than we were in during Monday's show, so that's good. So today's show is going to talk about a whole mess of stuff to do with the trade deadline. We've got a couple of mooted trades. We've had one that's happened. Got some Anthony Davis news. We've got some All-Star Saturday announcements as well, which would be great for the dunk comp and everything. We'll talk about some snubs and who should have been in it. That'll be good. We've got all the games that have happened the last 2 days as well. That'll be all covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not enough, old mate, no mates, Spud of the Night, and Better Than Lonzo Ball. And of course, there's always, yeah, nah, unpopular opinion of the day in our back takehouse, where we're saving up some flame grill takes. And look, we'll also throw in a Shane Heal Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award, and a Where in the World Is, which is pretty cool. And we'll finish out with a brand new deli review. Oh, it's going to be pretty good, I reckon. At least I'm sober, so that's good. Nice one. All right, let's get to it. NBA's back. This is NBA Australia episode 226. Let's go.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Wow, you better. You better watch out for the actual trades happening there by the Lakers. That's actually happened. They've traded Shvi Mihailiuk. Yeah, that's right. They've traded for Reggie Bullock. Nice. So you better watch out for that, I guess. Or you better watch out for the Marc Gasol trade to Charlotte, which is imminent. Waiting for the Shams or Woj notification to pop on my phone any minute now, mate. Yeah. So anyway, you got to watch out for the trade deadline. Or you better watch out for the Indiana Pacers if you're the LA Lakers, because they're going to shit pump you. That's right. We're going to start the day the way we start every episode here at NBA Show with the daily whip around, and it is trade deadline madness, baby. It's all going down.
Rumors are flying.
Everybody's out there talking shit. Kristaps has already been traded. Everyone's waiting on the Lakers and Pelicans as to whether or not their stare down will ever end, and if the Pelicans will actually move Anthony Davis or not. But the Lakers did make another move today. They traded guard Shvi Stolov. Yes, I love Shvi. Mihailiuk, love him. And a draft pick to Detroit for guard Reggie Bullock. The draft pick is, I believe, a 2021 second rounder. Nice. So Reggie Bullock played for the Pistons, and he's like, all right, sweet, this is all well and good. Oh, fuck, now I'm a Laker. Oh, neat. Also a pretty neat move, I think, for the Lakers. Reggie Bullock is good. Like, I'm not entirely convinced Detroit really know what they're doing, considering they're just trading their, like, starting shooting guard. Like, guys, you realize that you're kind of still in the hunt for the playoffs there. What, are you opening up more playing time for Luke Kennard? I mean, if that's the plan, best of luck to you. Look, Marc Gasol, the coach killer, might be... Look, all of the rumors about this are sort of like pretty smoky, therefore fiery, because Marc Gasol's cleaned out his locker in Memphis. Grit and grind is basically Dunsky. He's sitting there with a garbage bag. He's throwing all his shit into it. He's bounced before halftime of their game today against Minnesota. It's all over. Marc Gasol's gone. So you just know it's happened. I feel like they're just nutting out some details. I'd expect it to be like, what, Malik Monk and Bismack Biyombo make that money work? and maybe a draft pick for Charlotte going out to Memphis in return for Mark Gasol, the coach killer. And I'm just saying, man, James Borrego, Charlotte coach, better watch yourself, mate. Mark Gasol's going to rock up there and go, I'm not fat. You can't say that to me. I'm going to get you fired, man. Yeah, man. Like, Mark Gasol's just going to, like, walk in there and start complaining about literally everything, man. Minutes, practice, how many touches he's getting, defensive schemes, rotations, the arena concession stands, the color of the floor, the commute to Spectrum Arena, the fact that he has to go past Panthers Stadium and it looks weird. He's going to complain about North Carolina accents. He's going to complain about Kemba not being Mike. Yeah, enjoy that, Charlotte. Marc Gasol, it's a hell of a ride. Mike Conley, his Memphis teammate. Look, the Pacers and Pistons, and presumably the other team starting with P, that'd be the Pelicans, would be interested in him. Look, I love the idea of Mike Conley on the Pacers. I think I talked about this last week, didn't I? That's pretty good. Oh, yeah. Nice one, Jimmy. You nailed it, I guess. That hasn't happened, but and I can't really actually see it happening because the Pacers just don't really have anything to trade, right? And look, Mike Conley, a little bit younger than Marc Gasol, therefore a little bit more valuable. Pistons, probably a little bit more to trade in there as well, considering the, you know, picks, young dudes. Yeah, who knows? He'd be really good next to Blake and Andre there, wouldn't he? Anyway, so there you go. A couple of rumors there. But the Lakers, Pelicans, that's what we're all here for, right? The stare down continues. Apparently the Pelicans want 4 first rounders from the Lakers. And so they bloody well should, considering they're the ones who are trying to trade the 25-year-old fucking All-NBA superstar, top 7 player, 8 player in the NBA. Yeah, you want 4 first rounders, as well as all those fucking spuds, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, Ivica Zubac, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the notorious KCP. And apparently, the Lakers offered Lonzo, Kuz, Ingram, Hart, Zubac, and the notorious KCP and 2 first rounders, and the Pelicans like, nah, we're good. Look, we're standing firm with 4 first rounders and probably a couple of second rounders. What do you reckon? The Lakers like, oh, it's a bit too much, a bit too rich for our blood. I mean, what do you reckon? And the Pelicans like, man, that's fucking fine, because we're more than happy to wait till July for the Celtics to come swimming in and offer us Jason Tatum, and the Lakers are shitting fucking bricks right now. So yeah, that's where we stand currently with Lakers Pelicans. I expect that to change tomorrow, and we might even do an emergency podcast tomorrow afternoon with more deadline news. We'll see how we go, but still, amazing stuff. Be interesting to see what happens. My thoughts are that it does happen. I predicted that on Monday while I was hammered doing the post-Super Bowl show, and I feel like the Lakers will eventually just cave and go, fuck it. 4 first rounders, who gives a shit? Take them. See ya. Let's get AD. Let's get this fucking thing done. Meanwhile, the Lakers got shit pumped today with all those really good trade assets all playing as well. So, yeah, best of luck with that, Pelicans. Still reckon the smart thing would be to wait, but anyway. Other news, LaVar Ball. Ah, that's right. LaVar's back. He wants Lonzo to play in Phoenix as opposed to New Orleans if he gets traded. Has LaVar actually ever left the West Coast if he hasn't gone to Lithuania to see his other spud sons play? I'm not convinced that he has. Just saying. That's weird. Anyway, I don't know if I mentioned this on Monday, but D'Angelo Russell got named an All-Star in place of Victor Oladipo instead of Jimmy Butts because the coach is like, man, fuck that guy. And look, for some injury news, look, the Nets, well, for the good stuff, the Nets are hopefully that Caris LeVert is returning to 5-on-5 practice, and he might actually play before the All-Star break. Considering he nearly snapped his foot off his leg, that's fucking amazing. And then some bad injury news. John Wall has ruptured his Achilles after slipping and falling at home. Yes, this sucks. Poor John Wall. He's got the giant, giant, giant contract. He had already had season-ending surgery for bone spurs in his heel. Apparently that it got infected as well, but then he slipped and fallen at home and has ruptured his Achilles, and he'll be out for probably at least another 12 months, which is absolutely fucking brutal for all 3 of the Washington Wizard fans out there. That's tough, mate. It's very tough. That sucks, man. You're staring at $40 million of dead John Wall money there. Wizards, Brad Beal sitting there going, fucking sweet. This dipshit's not going to be around for ages. This is awesome. My team now, bitch. Love it. So yeah, John Wall, it's a tough one. And other injury news, Mo Bamba is out for significant time because he has a stress fracture in his lower left leg. He's expected to recover without surgery, so they don't have a timetable for his return. It all depends on how he responds to treatment. If it's a stress fracture in his lower leg, I mean, that's what, 2 months, 3 months, easy. Jesus. Anyway, some other good stuff, though. We had all the All-Star Saturday lineups announced. That means the skill challenge, the three-point shootout, and the dunk comp. So let's go through these, shall we? The skills challenge, where, like, chumps have to dribble around some shit, do a pass, shoot a three, make a dunk or a layup. Unreal. It's the it's the AFLX of the Saturday All-Star lineup. We're like, huh? What? All right, sure. So our entrance into this one is Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes, Trey Balding at 21 Young, Luka Doncic, Big Dick Luka, Mike Conley, because apparently he doesn't want a holiday. He's going to rock up just for this. That's fucking wild. De'Aza Fox, Swiper DeFox, love De'Aza. Nikola Jokic, hello, the Serbian assassin. Kyle Kuzma and Nikola Vucevic. And look, just to look, you got your four bigs, I guess, which is, includes, weirdly enough, Jason Tatum, Jokic, Kuz, and Vuce. And then you got your guards, which are Young, Luka, Conley, and Fox. But still, what? We couldn't get Dally on there? Classic anti-Australian bias. Speaking of anti-Australian bias, the three-point shootout, we've got Devo, Devin Booker, Steph the Dork Curry, Kemba, I'm only here because this is like my city where they're hosting it, Walker, Dame Lillard, Dirk Nowitzki, Buddy, Steph Curry, Hield, Seth Curry, not Steph, Seth the dyslexic's favorite Curry, Joe Harris, Chris O'Middleton, and Danny Green. That means no Klay Thompson, no Joe Ingles, no Brook Lopez, no Davis Bertans, no JJ Redick. That's fucking brutal, man. Joe Ingles has already gone, yeah, man, mate, I'm going on holiday. I don't need to hang out in fucking Charlotte. No one in their right fucking mind would go to Charlotte for a holiday. That's bullshit. Are you fucking nuts? I live in Utah, mate. We've got all this natural beauty. I'm going to take the kids and go down the fucking river and hang out for like 4 or 5 days. On you, Joe. I'd do the same thing. What would have been amazing is if Ben Simmons had have entered the three-point shootout just to fuck with everybody. That would have been amazing. You're just like, oh, yeah, no, I can do this. I just choose not to because fuck all you nerds. Would have been good. For the dunk comp as well, the crown jewel of it, though, we've got Miles Bridges. That's the Charlotte one. Miles Bridges, which is pretty good because he's had some absolute fucking life-taking dunks so far this season. But because no one watches Charlotte, no one knows. But, you know, hometown boy at this point for the Charlotte All-Star Game. Good on you. Dennis Smith Jr., new Knickerbocker of New York City. Dennis Smith Jr., John Collins, that's a tall cocktail. And Hamidou Diallo, not Hammond Don't Diallo. He's going to Hamidou the dunk comp. Which is pretty great. We don't have former winners like Donovan Mitchell or Aaron Gordon or Zachy Cakes Levine. The one thing I was like, we've got Hamidou Diallo and instead of his teammate, T-Ferg, Terrence Ferguson, my favorite former Adelaide 36er and not named Phil Smythe. Why not expand it to six people as well? If we're going to like expand the All-Star rosters to 13 to incorporate fucking Dirk Nowitzki and D-Wade as the NBA goes, oh, yeah, look, we'll make it only 12 people for the roster, but not 15. So you've always got snubs and people don't get named, but we'll just randomly make it 13 this year for these two guys. Why don't we make the dunk up six people and have Vince Carter and Zion fucking Williamson? That's what I want to see. Shit, yes. Like, come on, man. Get him in there. That'd be fucking great. He'd be out there breaking backboards. Vince is out there doing windmills at 41. That'd be amazing. All right, anyway, let's whip through some wraps for the last couple of days. So yesterday we had some games. We really did. There were actual NBA games. The Pistons beat the Nuggets, which was absolutely wild. The Nuggets had no Jammin' Jamal or Gary Harris, the dartsman. They went big, big, big without. They didn't have Thrillsap either, Paul Thrillsap. He was out with a sore right ankle. The Joker went 7 of 17 for 16, 3, 4, and 3, but that was not enough to stop Andre Drummond. Yeah, 27 and 12. Blake had 17, 7 and 4. And Spud Stanley Johnson had 21. Denver, they dropped to 37 and 16. Detroit, 23 and 29 all of a sudden and feeling pretty good about themselves, which is weird because Detroit probably shouldn't feel good about themselves, but they've won two straight, so good on them. The Bucks smashed the Nets 113-94. They held the Nets to 32% shooting. Not great, mate. That's not really how you win games in the NBA. D'Angelo went back to his old D'Angelo Russell ways. He's like, hey, man, now I'm a starter. Fuck it. 18 points on 20 shots.
Kobe.
Giannis had 30-15-9. We'll talk about him later. Brooklyn are now 28-27. Milwaukee, I hear it's Algonquin for the good land, still have the NBA's best record at 39-13. The Hawks beat the Wizards in Washington, just proving that there's a whole bunch of shit going down in Washington at the moment. 137-129. El Jefe Green was the best Wiz, which is bad. Yeah, 26. And Kevin Huerta had 19-5-4 for the Hawks. They are now 18-35. The Wiz dropped to 22-31. Let's fire up that tank there, Wiz. Let's do it. Wall's out for a year. I mean, what the fuck else are you going to do? The Pacers lost. Oh, no, they beat the Pelicans in New Orleans, which was absolutely nuts. 109-107. Jahlil fucking Okafor for the Pelicans continues his crushing ways, 25-13. While for the Pacers, they were led by Darren Collison of all people, 22-6. Pelicans now 23-31. Ooh, there's another tank right there, mate. And India 34-19 with that win, and then the win over the Lakers today, keeping them ahead of the Sixers in the East, which is nuts. The Rockets beat the Suns 118-110 in Phoenix. Kelly Oubre Jr. had 23 points because, yeah, Washington trading Trevor Ariza for Kelly Oubre Jr. seems really smart now that John Wall's not going to be playing basketball for another year and a half. And James Harden is still pretty good at basketball. 44 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. He has scored over 40 points in two-thirds of his last 21 games. Pretty good. Phoenix are 11-44. Houston moved to 31-22. And finally, yesterday, 112. The Spurs lost to the Kings 127, which was fucking nuts, mate. DeMar DeRozan there is back with 24-4-4 for the Kings. De'Aaron Fox had 20 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. And buddy, Steph Curry healed, had 18 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. Pretty bloody good, man. The Spurs are 32-23. Going to be coming very close to my over-under bet on them at 44.5 wins, I believe. And Sacramento, out of nowhere, 28-25 and ninth in the West. And then today's games, the Clippers beat the Hornets in an absolute ball terror buzzer beater, 117-115. The Hornets are up by 20. Clips came all the way back in the fourth and stole it. Marvin Williams missed a game winner at the end. Tobias Harris hit the go-ahead. That was wild. The Hornets had Kemba with 32. He missed a go-ahead three in the last minute pretty wildly as well. Clippers just played very good defense on him as well. Jeremy Lamb had 22, old sleepy eyes. For the Clips, Tobias the Never Nude Harris had 34 points, and Sweet Lou Williams had 31. Charlotte are now 26-27. Oh, yeah. They definitely deserve an all-star, though. Fuck off. The Clippers are 30-25 and in 8 in the West. The Celtics smashed... Well, they didn't smash the Cavs. They beat the Cavs without Kyrie Irving, Mook Morris, Bangers Baines, or Bobby Williams. 103-96. For Cleveland, that's right, Stephen A. Smith. It was Cleveland.
Cleveland!
27 points for the Sex Man, Colin Sexton. 11-24 shooting. For Boston, Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes. He had a good game. 25 points. Shot 12 of 12 from free throws. Not bloody bad. 6 of 13 shooting. So 25 points on 13 shots is pretty good. Gordo Hayward needed this one. 18 points on 9 of 14 shooting. And Jaylen Brown, though. Jesus. Come on, mate. 6 of 19 for 13 points. Jesus. It's the opposite of Tatum. Cleveland are now 11-43. Boston 35-19 and sitting in third in the East. The Lakers got absolutely shit pumped by the Pacers to the tune of 42 points. Absolutely nuts. They only took 75 shots. The Pacers took 99. And the weird thing is, LeBron James was back in this game. He had 18-7-9 in 30 minutes. No one else did shit. 12 points on 13 shots for Kuz. Spindles had 12, and Beasley was just an absolute spud. He might pop up later. Pacers shot 56.6% from the field and 55% from three. Bojan Bogdanovic had 24 points. Miles Turner had 22. 17-5-4 for the Souvlaki Kings. Domantas Sabonis Yeah, I'll have the combination meat there. Thanks, Demartis. Cheers, mate. And 17s for Aaron Holiday and what's his name? Sumner. Pretty bloody good, man. Pretty bloody good. The Lakers are now 27 and 27. They're 500 and they're 10th in the West. And Indiana, 35 and 19, as mentioned, they're 4th in the East. Unreal. The Pistons beat the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. The Knicks' woes at home continued. They started their new New York Knickerbockers of New York City, Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, and Wes Matthews, and it did not help in a surprise twist. Dennis Smith Jr. had 25 points. Woo! On 25 shots. Yeah, not great. Kevo Knox was out there with 12 points on a... Whoa, hang on a second. Yeah. 11 on 12 shots. Jesus. 4 of 12 shooting. Brutal. Wes Matthews shot 12 of 11. Oh, 2 of 11. Brutal. Just shit all around from the Knicks. The Pistons, Blake had 20 in the first half. He finished at 29, 6, and 8. And Andre Drummond had 17, 6, and 5 blocks. While we had the Reggies, just before they got split up, they had 19 points each. Reggie Jackson and Reggie Bullock. Nice one. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City are a league worst, 10 and 43, and the Pistons 24 and 29. The Raptors beat the Sixers in absolute barnstorming fashion in Philly, 119-107. The refs fucked this one royally. It's like the refs were either super hungover and like wanted to like be done really quickly or take forever, and they couldn't decide between the two, just with these shitty fouls or just letting them play with like egregious fouls. It was fucking weird. For the Sixers, Embiid had 37 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 blocks. Simo, big Simo, Ben Simmons, 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals, fouled out at the very end. Jimmy Butts had 18, and Sham Wow, Landry Shamet, got caught for one of the worst defensive fouls you'll ever see. The refs reckon he kicked out his feet. He's just shooting. It's like, ugh, these fucking refs, man. For the Raps, Kawhi had 24 points on 3 of 11 shooting. Yeah, that's right. He went 16 of 17 from the free throw line. Tells you the story of this game, doesn't it? Serge Ibaka had 20 and 10. Carl Big Booty Lowry had 20 and 6. Norm Powell had 14 important ones off the bench too. And Pascal Siakam had 16 and 6. God damn, he was good. Philly now 34 and 20 and 5th in the East. And Toronto are 2nd in the East, 39 and 16. The Wolves beat the Grizz, rather, 108-106. The last Marc Gasol game in Memphis, probably after he cleaned out his locker. Wild game, man. Like, Josh Okogie fouled Justin Holiday with 0.1 seconds left, which was fucking crazy. And the Grizz pulled this one out, 108-106. Bit of a spurious foul as well. Like, they're just kind of going after the ball on a rebound, and Okogie was kind of there, and Holiday fell over. It was weird. So Big Cat ends up with 26 and 18. We go! Andrew Wiggins with 5 of 18 shooting for 12 points. What the fuck is all this with like all these really inefficient scoring days by young dudes today, huh? That's brutal, man. 5 of 18 for 12 points on 18 shots. Anyway, Luol Deng is still in the league, and he had 18 points. Dario, the homie, Saric had 22. For the Grizz, triple fucking J was unreal. Jaren Jackson Jr., he'll pop up in a second. Mike Conley at 25 and 9 before he probably gets traded. And Ivan Rabb looked good, 19 and 11. Minnesota 25 and 28. Memphis are now 22 and 33. Got to get back to those losing ways there, Memphis. The Magic lost to the Thunder in OKC, 132-122. For Orlando, Azar Gordon had 18 points, 6 rebounds, 10 assists, and like a million turnovers. 8 turnovers? Jesus. Fournier, Evan, don't Google me, Fournier, 25 points, and Vooch had 17, 9, and 5, or T-Ross with 26 points that screamed, please fucking trade me. OKC, the 7 players in double figures, but Paul George, again, fucking incredible. Playoff P, 39 points. Yeah, it's pretty good. And Rusty with his 7th triple-double in a row, Rusty Westbrook, 16, 15, and 16. It's the triple quinceañera. Unbelievable. The Thunder are 7-0 every time Rusty has scored at least 15 points, 15 rebounds, and 15 assists. So you'll take that. OKC now 34 and 19, and they're 3rd in the West. Orlando are 22 and 32, and should consider firing up that tank. What else? And then finally, the Blazers lost at home to the Heat, 118-108. This was absolutely brutal for the Blazers. Oh, geez. Yep. CJ was awesome. He had 33 points, but Dame stunk up the joint. 13 points on 5 of 15 shooting. He at least had 10 assists, but geez. 25 points for Jake, not a layman, and he's smashing it. As soon as they've traded for Rodney Hood, he's like, oh, I want to keep my job, man. Miami whinging Hassan Whiteside at 28 points, 11 rebounds, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. Joshy Richo Richardson had 18, but it was a bloody D-Wade of all people who came out and smashed at 22 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, went 1 on 5 at one point in this game as well. Missed a shot, managed to beat like 4 dudes for the rebound, went again, missed the layup, got it back again, and then they sort of like tried to steal it. He deflected it out on the Blazers and all his mates got back up there and Miami ended up winning. It was wild. So Portland lose a very winnable game. The Heat had lost 3 straight and Blazers somehow shit the bed in this. Portland now 32-21 and Miami 25-27. And there you go. That's all the wraps. Thank God that's over. Let's do it.
Nice. That's a knife.
That's right. It is the NBA Stereo Proof Performance of the Night. This one goes to Giannis Antetokounmpo. 30 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 blocks. I mean, holy shit, man. At this point, we're just taking the Greek freak almost for granted when he's just doing this shit on the rig. LeBron James. Also, look, the improved performance of the night. He was shit. He hates his teammates. He's trying to trade all of them. But at the same time, he also today became the youngest player to ever score 32,000 career points. Which is pretty great. 34 years old. That is unreal. So good shit, LeBron. But Giannis is out there crushing it. And fast Jimmy Harden should probably get this, but we're going to talk about him again later. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Oh, is it every single Laker on the LA Lakers roster not named LeBron James? That's right, man. This was the worst loss of LeBron James's career today against the Pacers. This is a team. They're trying to trade for like one of the best players in the NBA. They're like, oh, please take all of our young, talented guys who just got shit pumped by a Pacers team who don't have their best player. You can see why the Pelicans are a little bit fucking hesitant, can't you? Jesus. Anyway, so the rest of the Lakers, LeBron's just sitting on this fucking bench is going, oh, these fucking guys, I hate him so much. He's going to get all your asses traded. But the best part is, other fans now realize this, and the Indy fans absolutely fucking gave it to the Lakers, chanting out, LeBron's going to trade you, while Brandon Ingram was shooting free throws, and while JaVale McGee was shooting free throws, they were chanting, not worth trading. He responded with like a championship, like him spraying champagne and, you know, like a championship trophy emoji on like while tweeting out later after this game. It's like, JaVale, we get it. Yeah, but it's not like you fucking led the Warriors to a title, you dickhead. Anyway, but the real old mate, no mates, is poor bloody Mo Wagner. Holy shit. That's right. The Lakers rookie. He goes up for a rebound late in this Pacers game and Lance make him dance. Stevenson goes for the rebound as well, tries to steal it in a very Patton and Russell Westbrook kind of move. Unfortunately, Lance is built like a brick shithouse and knocks over Mo Wagner, knocks the ball out of bounds. There's no one, all the other Pacers are up the other end of the fucking floor. It's two Lakers, one big guy, one small guy, Lance, one big guy, Mo. Mo goes, well, I'm the center. I'll get the rebound. Lance goes, nah, fuck you, Rook. I'm going to get this. Knocks it out of bounds. In the process, knocking over Mo Wagner. Looking back at him like, you fucking piece of shit. Fuck you. And then walks off, Lance, disgustedly. Which is great. Because there was the post that the Lakers retweeted yesterday, I believe, of LeBron James getting all these people on the Lakers around him. It's like, yeah, hey. If your brother falls down, don't get up. Your brothers will come pick you up. Meanwhile, Mo Wagner today just lay there on the floor for a good 10 seconds and no one came to pick him up. If you wanted a more old mate, no mates, and also just writ large painting of just how fucked the Lakers are at the moment while everyone's expecting to be traded, there you fucking have it. Unreal. Great shit. What about Spud of the Night, though?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Oh, Spud of the Night. Look, I love Michael Beasley as much as the next man, but super cool bees. Mate, if you're going to punch on with your coach and go, look, fuck you, Luke Walton, I'm going to kick your fucking teeth in, you can't come back in the next game and shoot 0 of 8 and have a minus 12. You can't be like, hey, man, you need to give me more minutes. And then when he plays you, you shoot 0 of 8. Bees, what the fuck are you doing, you idiot? I love it. Pantsick of the Night obviously goes to basically Brandon Ingram copping those LeBron's going to trade you chance. But come on, man, just the pantsing of the night just goes to that entire Lakers organization after the Pacers doing that to the Lakers. I mean, that's a level where you're talking, like, this is such a pantsing where it's like the level where you're talking to a girl you got a crush on in the high school hallway, like in front of the lockers or some shit, and like your dickhead mate, he fucking dacks you and accidentally on purpose gets your undies as well, and like your dick's just like hanging out and everyone's like, oh, fuck, he got dacked and his dick's out, look at him, and it's also cold outside, and you're just like, oh, man, it's cold, it's not that small, settle down. That was the fucking Lakers today. That's how badly they got fucking pantsed. Brutal. Speaking of the Lakers, who was better than Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
That's right. Coming for everybody. If that involves demanding that you don't get traded to New Orleans, even though it's not in your power. It's like LeVar Ball doesn't understand how things work. I guess, but you know, it's bowling season.
It's bowling season.
It sure is. All right, let's do it. So who was better than Lonzo Ball today? How about Marvy Bagley? Marvin Bagley, holy shit, a career high 24 points with 12 rebounds for Sacramento against the Spurs yesterday. That was awesome. And then today, triple fucking J, Jaren Jackson Jr. for the Grizzlies, 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. He was unreal. He actually missed 2 very crucial free throws at the end of that game that could have salted away the game for the Grizzlies, but he missed both of them. But still, better than Lonzo Ball. But Trae Young is absolutely smashing at the moment, so I can't really be out here doing the old better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball, because Trae Young is balling out fucking hardcore, mate. So in that game, we had been talking him up, where he'd had a couple of really, really good games against, what was it, like Utah, Phoenix, all those sort of dudes. You're like, oh, that's neat. But then goes out, craps the bed against Washington, and 2 of 13 shooting he had, but they still won pretty handily today. So 10 points, 10 assists, 2 of 13 shooting. Not great though, Trey. But there you go, Marvy Bagley and triple fucking J, mate. Crushing it. And quickly, score of the week. Quick update. Joel Embiid now has reached the minutes criteria in his contract for this season, which is pretty great. So with the extension that he signed, that almost $150 million extension, where it had like a whole bunch of minutes benchmarks per season. And he had to hit basically specific points of minutes played per season in 3 of his first 4 seasons after he signed that, which include the last year of his rookie contract. He hit it last year. He's hit it this year. And if he plays 1,650 minutes in either of the next 2 years, all of the rest of his contract is basically 100% guaranteed, which is fucking cool, man. Because those final 3 years of the extension are $29.5 million, $31.6 million, and $33.6 million. So good money if you can get it. Nice one on you, Joel Embiid. That's fucking great, man. I just love that he's healthy because, man, injuries fucking suck, and Joel Embiid healthy is awesome. Right, we'll be back in a second with some Yeah Nahs right after this.
G'day, this is Thon McCurr, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
All right, it's time for Yeah Nah, where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should the Hornets actually just trade for Marc Gasol? We talked about it earlier. Yeah Nah, yeah, for Defo. I mean, fuck, I hate Marc Gasol, he's a whinging bitch, but he's also better than anyone else they'd have a shot at getting because they're fucking Charlotte. I mean, get him in that James Borrego offense with Kemba, and I fucking love this. If they get to keep, like, Frenchy Batum and maybe Marvy Williams, if they have to give up Malik Monk, fine. But still, like, more passing for that team would be very, very good for them, and he really opens up the floor. He's basically what they wanted out of Frank the Tank Kaminsky, but, like, about roughly 400 million times better than that fucking giant spud. Marc Gasol on Charlotte would be good, but does he push them over the top and turn them into a contender in the East? Yeah, nah, no. No, he doesn't, because he's a 34-year-old fucking malcontent. I mean, he would be good. They're seventh at the moment, sort of battling for the two wins behind the Nets, 6-7. So what? Best case scenario, they sort of fight their way up to just outside of the top four of Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Philly. And they're sort of nutting it out with, like, Brooklyn and Indiana around 5, 6, 7. So what? You end up fancying yourself with a puncher's chance in the first round against, like, Boston or Philly? I mean, good fucking luck. I know it could be fun, but Jesus, I don't really like their chances. Next one. Did John Wall really snap his Achilles falling over at home? I mean, I guess. But it's more about what was he doing when he fell over at home. It was probably a weird sex thing, wasn't it? Like, this is the old, slipped in the shower and that's how the shampoo fucking bottle went up my ass. It wasn't weird or sexual. I just slipped. That's 100% what John Wall's doing right now. Like, was he slipping by the pool shitface or getting ready to get another cocktail? I reckon that's probably the most likely one, right? Like, you know, I've fucked up my feet a bunch of times and it sucks. And, like, your recovery fucking just, it's brutal because you want to walk, obviously. And if you've got your fucking walking boot, man, if you're by the pool, you get up, you want another beer, it's a bit wet, over she goes, you fucking wrench it one way, it goes the other, and bang, Bob's your uncle, you've got a torn Achilles. I reckon that's what's happened. 100%, right? Fuck yeah. What else? Oh, yeah. So this one's a Stephen A. Smith one. It's not actually just him screaming, like,
I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I just don't know.
He said the league, the owners, management, and agents are all against Rich Paul and LeBron and do not want this Lakers trade to happen. They believe it sets a terrible precedent. Do I believe that? Yeah, nah. No, I feel like most agents and management and stuff kind of understand it. I think it's more the Pelicans and other owners and management and stuff like that not wanting to be fucking bullied into doing dumb shit, which is fair. I don't think they're that worried about it setting a precedent because we've kind of already seen this sort of shit. And on the down low, like, I feel like we've seen Paul George with LA and the NBA sort of stepping in going, yeah, you can't sign Paul George because you've been tampering and we will find the absolute fucking shit out of you if you try to sign him. Like, the NBA can't throw their bodies in front of a trade between the Pelicans and the Lakers, but they can dissuade, like, signing and shit, obviously. So I have a sneaking suspicion that the next year now, will AD get traded to the Lakers before the deadline? Yeah, nah. Look, I said yeah earlier. And I do believe it because I believe it's the only way the Lakers will get around and actually have a shot at trading to get AD because I don't believe they'll actually be able to sign him in about a year and a half. I think the Lakers will have the NBA in their ear going, you can't do it. This is too much fucking tampering. You've got a dude who's agent sitting there talking to dudes on other teams and talking to their management, demanding trades. We're not going to let you do it. So the Lakers' best chance of getting him is right fucking now because free agency July 1 where Kyrie can finally sign back, maybe, with Boston. And the Celtics can suddenly just go, oh, hey, guys, so we have this amazing thing over here. So I'm just saying, look, here's Jason Tatum. You can have that and all of our other shit. So there you go. And the Pelicans will be like, you know what? Fuck it. We'll take your four first round picks this year. We'll take Jason Tatum. We'll take Jaylen Brown. We'll probably take Marcus Smart as well. Cheers. And the Lakers, they really need to do it. Oh, and shit, we've got some breaking moves. What do you reckon? Do I have a buzzer? What do we got? I mean, there's that. It's bowling season.
It's bowling season.
That's right. The Philadelphia 76ers and LA Clippers have just traded Tobias Harris, Boban Marjanovic, and Mike Scott for Landry Shamwell, Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala, a 2020 first rounder, the 2021 unprotected Miami first, and 2 second rounders. Holy shit. That is absolutely wild for Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic and Mike Scott. Jesus. So that's the Sixers going, wow, we really, 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 really need a whole bunch more sort of scoring and like another real big weapon. And I guess they kind of just got it. Like Tobias fucking Harris, man, he's really good. So look, on your Sixers, well, it's in the middle of year now. So what do you reckon? Is that good? Yeah, nah. I reckon it's an overpay. That Miami first in 2021. Oof. Really? For Tobias Harris when you're giving up Shamwell? I mean, I guess you're only giving up Shamwell and Wilson Chandler, aren't you? So the Sixers are sending 2021 and 2023 second rounders to the Clippers as well. And Woj then also tweets out, Tobias Harris could be moving towards a max contract in free agency this summer. That would have been difficult for the Clippers to do, considering they've got their own free agency aspirations, which is pretty interesting once you think about it, mate. But yeah, there you go. Tobias Harris, new Philadelphia 76er. Jesus, absolutely unreal. Pretty fun, pretty fun. What do you reckon? Is that good? Yeah, no. I think it's pretty good if you're the Sixers. Does it really move the needle that much, though? Would have liked to have seen Markel Fultz go in that trade rather than Shamwell, because I think you need to keep his shooting. And at least Harris can guard dudes. So, look, I'll fucking take that for the Sixers. Nice one. Anyway, so there you go. Tobias Harris traded to the Sixers during the podcast. This is unreal. This is why I'm probably going to do another show tomorrow, even though, you know, it might be a really short one. Good stuff. That was fun. Love it. What else do we have? I mean, did you just get an excitement quiver?
I had an excitement quiver. I get very excited about things and I do that.
That's right, I do that. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day? What do you think about this one?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. If I were New Orleans, I would give 0% shit about LeVar Ball and keep the fucking hell out of Lonzo Ball, right? Him and Jrue Holiday could be a wildly fun backcourt. Like, for all I shit on Lonzo nonstop, if he figures out shooting consistently, he and Jrue would be amazing as a backcourt, wouldn't they? Holy shit, yeah. I still feel like Lonzo could be very, very good. He's not at the moment. But I reckon there could be something there, and that could be awesome. So if I'm New Orleans, I want fucking... I'd be like, yeah, shit, yeah, give me Lonzo. I want that Lonzo shit. Fuck up, LeVar. I don't give a shit what the fuck you say. We're keeping this dickhead. And finally, it's Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means. West Sydney Razorbacks legend Derek Rucker cooking West Sydney Razorback ribs only at Outback, and they go great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is the Lakers, young dudes, have only just figured out that they're about to get traded to the middle of fucking nowhere and are busy tanking their trade value so that the Pelicans have to wait till July for the Celtics to trade for AD and they all get to stay in LA. Only at Outback. Yeah, it makes about sense. I dig it. Nice one. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Australian Player Watch right after this one.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, we're back. Australian Player Watch, let's do the damn thing. Big Simo, Ben Simmons. In the loss to the Raptors today, he had 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, shot 8 of 15 from the field. It was pretty bloody good. Jonah Bolden played 7 minutes off the bench, 3 points, 1-of-1 from 3, 2 rebounds and 1 assist. It's going to be interesting to see his role now with Tobias Harris there. Should be good. Jingles and Dante Exum, nothing for Utah the last couple of days. For the Cavs, they played the Celtics. So King Deli of Maribara, first of his name, smasher of tins. He had 8 points on 3 of 8 shooting. That's 2 of 6 from 3 with 4 assists, 1 steal. And Deng Adel had his first career start He played 25 minutes, which is pretty bloody good. And shot 1 of 4 from the field. That's not as good. 0 of 3 from 3. 2 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. 2. That's 2 for 222. Bangers Baines was in that same game against the Cavs and didn't play it. Because he's out probably until the All-Star break with a left foot contusion. Yeah, I'm still as confused as you. I didn't figure that Bangers could be hurt by conventional means. Patty Thrills Mills in the loss to Sacramento. He shot 5 of 15 from the field for 12 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Thon Song Thon McCurr, Thon, still racking up those did-not-play coaches' decisions while everyone figures out if he can be traded somewhere or not. Let's get him on the Nets with Mitchie Creek. Speaking of Mitchie Creek, in the loss to the Bucks, he played 15 minutes, which is absolutely unreal. The Creek Freak absolutely fucking smashed. 15 minutes, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. That means his entire like NBA career numbers now sit at 15 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 0 turnovers. The Creek Freak is smashing it. Ryan Rowdy Brockoff out there in Dallas didn't have a game in the last 2 days. After the big Kristaps Porzingis trade, hopefully he gets a little bit more run. And for the G League, we had Isaac Humphries for the Erie Bayhawks. That's right, it's Wednesday. We always check in on Hump Day for Isaac Humphries. In wins over the Salt Lake City and Rio Grande Viper teams against Rio Grande, he had, well, played 13 minutes. He had 6 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist. In Salt Lake City, he had 4 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 assist. Nice one, Zachy Cakes. All right, where in the world is, that's what we do on Wednesdays, Willie McDowell White. That's right, Darryl White's son, still in Germany. He's played 12 games this season across their Borussia Bamberg and their feeder team, the Young Pikes. For the Young Pikes, he's actually out there averaging 10.43 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals a game. And across all leagues, 6.4 points, 2.7 rebounds, and 3.4 assists. Willie McDowell White. I absolutely love it, mate. Let's see a little bit more of it, eh? It's pretty good, man. And look, it's Wednesday. We're just going to, may as well just call this, instead of the Shane Hill Hammer Award, we should just give it to James Harden. But let's do the damn thing anyway, should we?
Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord, I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, I am healed, because it is time for the James Harden, basically, shoot your shot, light him up award, but it is the Shane Hill Memorial. Come on, man, James Harden is on a fucking tear, the likes of which has barely ever been seen before. 38.8 points across his last 5 games is his average. Absolutely remarkable. Shooting 47% from the field in that time, 37% from 3 on 13.8 attempts, which is fucking nuts, while averaging 9.6 rebounds, 6.4 assists. Absolute deadeye. The high usage like rate is just ridiculous. He's taken 27, 32, 21, 22, and 26 shots in the last 5 games. Unreal. And he is on a streak that has not been basically done by anybody apart from Will Chamberlain, which is pretty amazing. And look, you just can't argue with it at this point. James Harden, it's pretty incredible. So good on you, Fast Jimmy Harden. You are our Shady Hill Shooter Shoot Your Shot Line 'Em Up Award for probably the 4th week straight, because you are on one hell of a tear, which I believe is 27 straight games of over 30 points, which is fucking unbelievable. And in that time, you are efficient as hell. So, great shit. Anya, way to do it. You won the damn thing. All right, we'll be back in just 1 second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and some game previews right after these ones.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we're back. Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. Patty did tweet out a retweet of a photo of Danny Green and the Raptors. And he he's wearing a floral print. And Patty Mills tweeted out, "Hell yeah, cuzzy, approved." Tick emoji. Flower emoji, prayers emoji. Ah, Patty Mills, that's pretty great. All right, let's do it. Game previews. Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. Are you getting enough sleep?
I mean, define enough. We're doing all right. It's all right, man. Thanks. Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. I'm just watching out for you.
Cheers. All right. Let's have a look at some odds and everything as well with our picks and previews for the next couple of days. Got some fun ones, I reckon. So tomorrow, Thursday, Australia time, we have the Denver Nuggets at Brooklyn. They are 2-point underdogs at home, are the Nets. And I think I'll take the Nuggets minus two, even though they're on a back-to-back. And they lost pretty badly. Wait, they're not on a back-to-back. Hang on a second. I'm all upside down. Jesus, no, the Nuggets played yesterday, didn't they? Yeah, I'll take the Nuggets minus two, as long as, yeah, depending on their health, they should be fine. The Pelicans play the Bulls, and the Bulls are 1.5-point favorites at home, which is absolutely bananas. But you know what? I think I might take it. The Pelicans are just all shook up with all this trade talk. They might be even shorthanded by the time this one rolls around. So give me the Bulls, minus 1.5 points. The Wiz play the Bucks. The Bucks will absolutely shit pump them, and they are 12-point favorites at home. And I believe that is easily not going to be enough. I reckon they'll kill them. So give me the Bucks minus 12 there. The Hornets, probably with Marc Gasol newly acquired and therefore shorthanded, play the Mavericks. The Mavericks are in Dallas at home. 5-point favorites. I'll take the Mavs, thank you very much. The Suns play the Jazz in Utah. The Jazz are 15-point favorites against the Suns. I'm not going to make the Jazz 15-point favorites over anybody at this point, just because they struggle to score and absolutely kick the bejesus out of teams. So I'll take the Suns plus 15 there. The Rockets versus the Kings. The Kings coming off a nice win over the Spurs. 3-point underdogs at home. I think I'll still take the Rockets. I think they have a get right signature win in them in this game in Sacramento. And then finally, tomorrow, the Spurs at Warriors. Absolutely unreal. The Warriors are 14.5-point favorites. And you know what? I think I'll take it. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Jesus, that's a lot of points. But makes sense. The Warriors will probably be full strength-ish. And the Spurs have been very up and down. And then Friday's slate, we'll just pick these for wins. Clippers at Indy. Give me the Pacers, I think. Clippers will be all discombobulated without Tobias, Toby, and Bobby. Oh, how good is it that Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic got traded together again? It's fucking awesome. They're inseparable. The Toby and Bobby show continues unabated. Give me Indy. Minnesota and Orlando. Give me the T-Wolves. Orlando maybe have made a bit of a trade at that point too. So Minnesota, I'll take that. Toronto at Atlanta. Toronto will smash them. Lakers at Boston. An absolute rip snorter. The most storied rivalry at all of the NBA. Give me the Celtics. They'll take care of LeBron James. LeBron might not even play in that one. Who knows? With his load management. I'm sure he loves copying a bit of load management. OKC host Memphis and will probably smash a Marc Gasol-less Memphis, I reckon. And San Antonio play in Portland. And Portland, after losing to Miami today, I think should take care of San Antonio on a back-to-back. After having they played Golden State the night before, I think Portland should then smash them. You know what? That's pretty good. We'll wrap all of that up on Friday. Thing is, we might do a quick show tomorrow with a bit of a trade talk with the deadline fast approaching right now. Obviously, we had the Tobias Harris trade right in the middle of the show. Love it for the Sixers because it looks like they want to re-sign him. And if they're going to have a big four of Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, and Jimmy Butler, I kind of like it. So yeah, that's pretty great. So we'll wrap up all the trade stuff regardless on Friday if it's a slow one or fast one. We'll be wrapping it all up. And if it's a very, very, very fast, heavy one, we'll do a show tomorrow. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on socials all over Twitter, Facey, Insta. You know what to do. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and what is it? It's Apple Podcasts, I guess, technically. Chuck us a follow on Spotify. That really helps out. And we're on Stitcher as well, so get around all that. Make sure you just, like, you know, hit 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, would you? Just go down and go 5 stars, fucking bang. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro music, but go check out House Hats, their new band. They are the best band in Australia. I've Been Broken is the song that you hear behind ENR every day. It's unreal. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers For all the tunes you heard throughout the show, give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australia bands. And that is it for today. We're back Friday, if not tomorrow. But stick around, because we, as promised on Monday, we have a brand new Deli review, as Deli reviews the Super Bowl. Yes, that's going to be in the end of today's show. Awesome. Deli reviewing the Super Bowl. All right, man. We'll catch you on Friday or tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen.
Oi, 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 how the fuck are yous? It's your old mate Deli over here, just finally getting a run on NBA Australia for my usual pop culture review this week. Just a little bit late this week, eh? Don't know what to tell you, but it just goes on, eh? So, what did you guys get up to on Super Bowl Sunday? Because, I don't know about you, but I was watching the bloody Super Bowl with a bunch of me mates, and I gotta tell you, what a waste of bloody time that was. I mean, mate, that was more boring than my fucking year 11 English class with Mr. Barnes, that dickhead who hated me and gave me a shit mark for my essay. Yeah, but nah, the Matrix was fully sick as. I mean, fuck off. So, look, I get it. The Patriots are all fucking super dominating and shit, like when I was with LeBron and shit in Cleveland and stuff, but jeez, reckon they could at least make the game bloody interesting or something, eh? I mean, I was having a big old barbie at my new place in Cleveland with the missus and a few mates around and my new best mate, Dang Adele, smashing a bunch of Corona tinnies, I'm cooking up snags and shit. And then the fucking game sucked. Like, I know Tom Brady's a fucking goat and stuff, but still, mate, like, fucking throw a long ball or some shit, someone take fucking someone's block off. I mean, the fucking Rams, man. Well, I reckon your old mate fucking Deli over here will do a better job at quarterback than that fucking spud Jared Goff. I mean, fucking hell, man. He was just about as bad as my best mate Plugger back home in Maryborough. Like, he was that bad at footy. Like, Plugger was so bad, he got kicked off the under-12s team. Well, who fucking gets kicked off the under-12s team? Classic Plugger. Well, and really, for a game they call football, I reckon I could be out there just, like, going fucking, like, Shane Way Woden, going bang and trying to kick goals and shit all the time, as opposed to all this fucking throwball bullshit. It's boring as fuck, and it's like, throw, commercial. Tackle, commercial. Tackle, commercial. Fuck, dickheads, Jesus, we've seen enough fucking ads already, man. Fuck off. But I guess, like, the missus, she bloody well loved that halftime show. Like, she loves that Adam Levine, eh? And, like, him with his fucking nips out and shit, mate. Oh, she loved the fucking songs, too. She's like, oh, Deli, mate, there's so many bangers. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's Maroon 5, you dickhead. It's like, fucking hell. So anyway, when I copped the route later on, I tell you, I reckon she was definitely fucking thinking of that Adam Levine, you know what I'm saying? Fuck. Anyway, so like, congrats to the Patriots. I mean, I reckon if I hadn't gone to Milwaukee, me and LeBron could have won 6 rings in Cleveland as well. But, you know, still, it's a pretty meager achievement. So, look, I don't know. The game itself only gets about 11 out of 10 Deli ones, I reckon. Like, it was shit house, but the day was saved by getting shit faced on Corona tins. So, alright, there you go. That was my review of the Super Bowl. I'll be back next week with the new pop culture review for you. Alright, later, cunts. Deli out.